Open session. We left off, we need to start at the executive committee level. The action items have been approved. We will, is there any comments on an action item from a presenter of any sort?
I do see that Julia has placed at each of your places the audit information as well as the news release on physical therapy that following the announcement this morning has now been issued.
We'll move into informational items. Mr. Osborne, Mr. Russell. Summer 2013 construction.
You guys are on.
Thank you. Before we get started, let me get back to that not long ago, Western Kentucky Workers invited to participate in what was known as a nationwide conservation competition. It was the Battle of Bluegrass in this case, and all the state schools were invited to participate. And only four agreed. UK, UL, Western, and Marine agreed to participate in the competition. And it was intended to have a competition to serve on territory designated period. So that it was all done mathematically by systems of getting a baseline for certain buildings and then coming back at another date and then comparing how well you did against your baseline. Well, to our credit, our dedicated students rise and close to the occasion. And this was all in housing. The King of Housing was where it happened. The amount of energy saved by Western exceeded the other schools. So Western was declared the official winner of the Bluegrass Conservation Competition. It only represents another example of how our students are very much connected to and interested in the sustainability and conservation-related matters. They did this on their own. It was all voluntary. All they had to do was let them know that they were in the competition and they embraced it. And work it into their everyday life and find a way to reduce it. Now, can they do better? Yes. Now that they've done it one time, I have a feeling this is still being repeated. It's just another indication we're going in an area related to sustainability and energy management and energy conservation. So,
who sponsored that competition, John, involving the universities? What was the original source of the concept?
The source of the concept, as I understand it, came from the U.S. Green Building Council, was one of the organizations. There's another. There is a press release that tells all that in the press release today. It just came out just today, I think. Bob, did it come out this morning? Was that again? Okay. Press release is out. It explains who was behind it and how it all came about. The amount of energy saved at Western in the period involved was 12,766 kilowatt hours of power. So it was focused on electricity and water.
Cool.
This happens to be coincidentally, of course, the Earth Day week celebration. Earth Day celebrations on our campus are occurring as we speak and continue on. Okay, on with the agenda. We have an information item today for you related to an update of our capital construction status. Brian Russell is going to assist us today by providing a quick overview. Actually, three things, not just the summer work, but three basic projects. Of course, the Bluegrass Union project has been coming along. I've been sharing a few photographs and evidence of success and accomplishment that's been occurring over the last year. Just to remind you, this is a two-year construction phase. It took us a year of design, and now we're in the first year of construction. And at the top of Cafe. As you know, it was built to accommodate the transition for this year. For this year, the Fresh Food Company has been operating out of that building. This summer, there will be a transition. That building will switch to the retail operation from the food court. We will occupy much of the building in phase one this summer, and we will occupy the second phase and the rest of the building in phase two in summer, our completion in August 14th. So we're going to be at the midway point this fall, the start of the semester, but I'm confident it will be a significant improvement to quality of life on campus and enjoyed by many when you see some of the things that are coming together. So with that said, also we have a profile of the nursing physical therapy project with the medics there, which you can see how that's progressing. And then Ryan will also update you on our summer work. We start planning summer work in January, and we have to decide, prioritize all the things we need to do, and we take advantage of that 90-day window to do the kinds of things that are disruptive to do during the academic year. So you don't really got summer, spring, fall, and winter. Winter doesn't give you much chance in terms of weather to do much of this work. We can't do it in spring and fall, so we only get to this 90-day window. So we really pack as much into the summer as we can and get her done between May and August. And Brian's going to cover all the topics for us today. I'll turn it over to him.
Thank you very much for having us again today. Our first project is our Downing University Student Union. This photograph here really shows what we've been looking at as renderings for this project, a new balcony and patio area. What we've got here is going to be the first, what we're going to call the ground floor, is our new WKU store. And we have a new primary entrance that is going to be here facing the Avenue of Champions and the South Lawn. It's going to be easily accessible to everyone on our campus. No longer will you have to, where's the store, where's my books, et cetera. But that's going to be a great venue, a great area to walk in. We also have in this area here, which is part of phase one, is our grand staircase. The steel and the stairs are beginning to go up. I think you can see that they really blended this addition and the architecture in with the existing building, which is very important to us to establish that architectural look. I'm going to move to the grand staircase. You're starting to see the spiral staircasing steel be put in. This will be the last piece. This is also another ground level entrance that you'll be able to walk into the building, and there will be three high-speed elevators that will be accessible to all four floors. This building is going to be ground first, second, and third. It's pretty fascinating how the accessibility and the visual connection that we'll have on three of the floors for students and visitors for our room. This is just a good shot of the working environment. This is in the WKU store. They're starting to really work on the finishes. They're flat blacking the ceiling in that area. There'll also be architectural clouds, ceiling clouds made out of wood and different things that'll be put in that will be easily recognizable when you're a visitor to come in to go to different stations within that facility. This week we're on the first floor. This is a good example of the Fresh Food Company and how they've moved along in construction. They've gotten the mechanical, electrical, and now they're working on the drywall pieces of that project. It's just to give you a sense of where that's moving forward. John is always pushing everybody in DFM and BDC and others to be very active in a sustainable effort. There's been a lot of very positive results from that over the years. This is something that's part of that, and this building is a LEED design facility, and these are what they call solar tubes, and those have been cut into the top roof deck. They've been installed, and you would be amazed the amount of natural light that is going to be able to go for first three floors of the building with this as part of the design. Those will also get tube extenders that will go down to a new ceiling. So it's very bright. I just thought you might find that of interest. Another component of LEED is cleanliness of the air quality inside of a building. You will see in a lot of photographs, or if you walk the building today, all of the ductwork is sealed during construction. And what they're trying to do is keep the dirt and debris out of it. But it's just another feature of LEED and air quality for the building when it gets opened up. It's a much cleaner environment than what normal construction was in the past. This is a new air handling unit that's already in place and plumbed up. Another example of how phase one is moving forward. And then this is actually on the second floor, where to the left is what is going to be the new career services. One of the advantages of having over 2,000 or 200,000 square feet to work in is that the work crews have been able to really get a jump on phase two areas as well as the phase one. And we'll see those advantages later in next year when I believe we're going to be able to open a few areas up earlier than scheduled. That was one of Dr. Ransdell's challenges, is we want to get this building completed as early as possible. So we're going to find some advantages in some of those areas. This is a new addition. Some people call it a lighthouse, but it's what we're going to be the area as a night class. It's a tradition. Might speak about night class and how important that's been to our students and activities. But that feature is ahead of schedule. That's in a phase two, but they're putting in the foundations, and that'll be in addition to what we call the red zone area of the building. So making a lot of progress. Typically, we're having over 100 to about 130 men, women, personnel working on that job per day. So it's a big project, a lot going on. We talked about, and it sounded like great news, getting pre-accreditation for the physical therapy program. This is our new building that is being built on the for the medical center. Their complex, but this is WKU's new facility for the nursing program, physical therapy program. There's about 20% of this facility that's being shared with the medical center on the first floor. This building is about 67 to 70% complete. You're looking at a third floor lobby area that they're actually starting to put finishes and painting on. This is a physical therapy entrance to a classroom. They're starting to pull the IT wiring into this facility on the third floor, which is just another example of level of completion. We've just gone to the second floor area. I want to show you how they'll finish third and second, first, and then that way you walk out of the building when it's cleanest. So you finish an area, you don't go back into that area. So it gives you an example of how that's moving forward. This is the first floor. As you see, there's a little different level of finish as we move down the floors. This is a tiered classroom, size for 80 to about 90 students. This is going to be the entrance area of this facility. And you can see that they've gotten a lot of the exterior done for that building. One of the things we want to talk about, John's covered most of it, about summer projects. Wanted to give you that day after commencement, we typically hit the ground running. We've got contracts in place for most all of the summer work that gets done. Very short window, a lot of dedicated contractors. We target August 17th to be finished. We don't always get 100% finished by that date, but we target that because we start master plan, which is an important component of freshmen coming in, and our attitude is that we want them to see a fresh face at Western, not in construction, if we can manage that. And then our classes start August 26th. These are just a kind of a list of some major projects that we'd be working on, colonnade lighting project. That's really a student-led initiative that was generated from, we do this yearly, as we go on safety walks. And that project is an area of our campus that has been brought up to us as a committee and a group that they wanted some more lighting. So we're going to be adding some lighting to that particular area. The state normal street lighting project is a pedestrian safety project that will be completed this summer. We'll be doing those several different things we talked about before in phases. This will be the first phase of that. Our high voltage project is a continuation of a long-term strategy to move to our 15 kV. This is on top of the hill. It's already been well communicated to that area of our campus, but it's going to affect Potter Hall, Garrett Conference Center, and Cherry Hall will be going on to our new underground power source. We're going to be doing some beautification and some branding on the existing CSX bridge abutments. That's going to take place in July of this year, and that'll be a nice entryway into our campus off of 6880. LT Smith Stadium is just a project that that group has asked us to work on. They needed some more office space, so they're working on getting that done this summer, be ready for August. Parking Transportation has a large list of projects that we work on every summer. They go through our campus, do a full assessment of our asphalt pavings, etc. This is just a small sample of some of the things we do for giving our lots a longer life. This is just a part of the ceiling and striping, but we actually will go out and do some paving, some building, some repairs that are needed in lots of other areas on our campus. Ivan Wilson, we've got a humidity problem in the recital hall that we're taking care of this summer. We've got a beautiful piece of artwork. It's a sculpture that over years, it's red, started to fade. We're going to take care of that this summer. Retaining wall repair, this will be our third year that we've gone back to our historic retaining walls, and we're continuing to do a little work on that. Each year, we've knocked what I would call some large areas of our campus for beautification and to preserve instead of losing it and have to totally replace it. We've been really doing some really nice things with those retaining walls, making repairs. Carpet work gets done during less busy times of the year. We've got a gas refueling upgrade that supports all of our maintenance activities with DFM. We'll do a two-year Copper Cafe conversion, which will be moving our red zone and our retail. That'll be the Chick-fil-A's, Papa John's, down to the Copper Cafe area. We've got a Raymond Cravens Library project. It's about $1 million project that's going to be addressing outside exterior envelope concerns that have been identified by a consultant, re-roofing the building. We have a College High Hall pedestrian walkway improvement project. They'll be making a new entryway down following our pathway over to the Ogden College. Doing a site improvement in Glasgow campus to make a big improvement to the entranceway and beautification of the entry of that project and campus. We've got some things in Houchin Smith Stadium East that are structural appearance in nature. They're not structural issues, but they're areas where the stadium has got a lot of cracks, and we'll be coming in doing some epoxy ejections, et cetera, to extend the useful life of that facility that we'll be doing this summer. And that is most of our summer work that we have. Just a brief highlight.
Brian, the main work will be up over College Heights Boulevard in front of Cherry Hall and in behind Cherry Hall in the electrical conversion. I know that there's been a lot of communication with the campus at that end of the campus, but is there much public awareness, because that will affect street traffic patterns for just more than just our campus?
We'll put all that on the Parking Transportation website. They'll have an instruction map, but we haven't put that out per se. We have individually met with each of the building coordinators and let all of the people on top of the hill understand we've worked with Jessica and the provost office with that communication about how we're scheduling classes, et cetera, and try to coordinate with Jeff. I think, Jeff, you've been involved, so we try to coordinate the many events that are on our campus. Jeff is usually always a team player in those discussions.
We further anticipate that when we cross the roadway, the street will be plated and keep it open most of the time. So
right.
Only when we will need to close a thoroughfare will we publicly announce that closure.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, we will keep it open as much as possible.
Good. So when we complete that top of the hill electrical conversion, what percent of the total campus conversion will we have completed at that point?
I don't know that percentage, but I know the benefits of that. This particular phase will actually get rid of a substation. It's called Mimosa Alley Substation. It also is going to get rid of some existing poles that are along our College Heights Boulevard and a line that goes over when you go up College Street and go to the top of our campus. We have some overhead lines that are very visible. Those will actually come down also. We've got a long way to go still. I think we're still in our capital plan asking for $30 million.
We are. I would say, put a percentage guess on it. My guess would be, it's not half. It would really be somewhere around 40-45%. Once we do some additional projects to connect buildings on the south loop that are not connected yet, but the loop itself is in, it'll really make a difference. It's all about removing the substations that have historically fed the main campus. There were five substations, and I think with this one we're going to have eliminated two of the substations. And the oldest ones are the oldest part of campus. So BGMU has been eager for us to recirculate our campus this way so they can close the substation. Because when we have power failures, oftentimes it's either on their side of the equation or ours, but in the case of these older substations, even they can cause quite a few buildings to go down all of a score. Okay, or
right.
Except for some. We've had that happen. But what I'm getting at is the older the substation, the more prone it is to failure. We're getting them eliminated as well. And so when we get done, there'll be one substation being campus instead of five. And then one will be the newest one, which is built for it over on South Street across the railroad track near the track.
And the new one actually has redundancy where they have two systems where we can switch from one to the other. And not many people know, but less than 2-3 weeks ago, we had an outage that occurred or damage that occurred to the Forest substation. But because of our infrastructure that we have in place, we were able to switch over, turn some switches, backfeed, let BGMU make repairs, and our campus didn't even know that it happened. So there's some real benefits, and it hasn't been that long ago that we had a lot of power outages that kept us from doing what we do best, educate. And now you're not seeing as much of that, especially on top of the hill.
Yep, good.
So there's some real improvements that have been made, and it's just being made in baby steps, and we've done a good job. About $2 million a year.
Yeah, $2 million is a lot of money, but when you're doing a $60 million project in increments of $2 million year after year, you're not making a whole lot of progress fast towards the real problem. And our other problem, I want to remind you, is it's not just underground electrical, it's underground steam distribution. So, you know, our greatest deferred maintenance problem is all in the brain. We got our problem with Bogram, don't get me wrong. But our greatest problems are in terms of dollars and in terms of difficulty and disruptions and problems that it can cause is we sort of like our electricity, we sort of like our heat. So, heat distribution, our steam distribution system is also in a very antiquated condition on the ground. It's almost now like we fix it where we know it goes wrong. In other words, it's not as simple as it's based on age and tear it up, but you open it up and replace it. It's now, you wait and see, like a fire department where you develop a problem, you would fix it. This is so many parts and pieces that you can put it in the ground so long. So what I'm saying to you, that's where our greatest problems are, and it's where we'll be addressing them to the future, is those things.
Thank
just thought you were leaving that for Brian to worry about.
Exactly.
And I'm glad I got a lot of good folks that really understand our systems.
How about the roundabout that's going in at the bypass and 31, I mean, University Boulevard and signage and so forth, so that we can make that part of Western, if you could?
Yes, I'll be happy to. This week we met again with Greg Meredith of KDOT, which is Department of Transportation, and we sat down with Helen Severs, Jennifer Tugas, and myself, and Alfonso, and we talked about specifically the roundabout and how it's going to impact the campus and what are some of the things that has it been fully funded. Well, we know it has been fully funded. The project is moving forward. Construction is going to start in 2014 in the summer. They're going to do it in about four different phases. So they're going to be doing the quadrants. And I think each quadrant is about 30 days in length. We're working with them very closely about putting a WKU signage element in the center of the roundabout. We have a 42-foot clear circle to work in. And just kind of give you how big this roundabout is really going to be, but we have 42 feet that's clear view. So we're looking at elements and we're working with the architect to design that element now. We are putting in, I think the project includes 200 to 400 feet of lighting in each direction.
The reason for my question is because the infrastructure in, so you have to put it later.
So those poles that are going in are going to be what you see, but they're going to have the ability for us to put our banners on them, and I believe those banners are 3x6. So we will be able to brand that entrance to our campus, and we're working on the details about the elements that will be in that center section and how we maintain that.
Yeah, since we assume normal, it's just more natural to make that part of our campus and a feature.
Well, we won't own the roundabout, but the casual motorist won't know that.
We will also be receiving notification soon of how much land will be needed from WKU for the project that we own. And all the mathematical square footage of analysis. So soon I'll be coming through the process to notify you of the amount of land that will be purchased by the Transportation Cabinet and what they will be paying us for that.
Also, Dave, tell everyone given to CSX to go along with some type of electronic signage on 6880, announcing events that are going on, maybe some traffic flow information or whatever, informational electronic signage.
We have not discussed that.
Might be food for thought. It'd be a great marketing tool.
All right.
Now you're referring to the overpass as you enter the campus.
Yes, sir.
Across the road.
Yeah, but that's what we're going to clean up.
Yes.
That's that CSX project, and that's such an eyesore. But boy,
it'd be a great goal.
Working with CSX to do anything, it's taken us 2 years to get them to allow us to paint it, to paint the concrete substructure on either side of the street. But haven't we been communicating with them, Debbie? 2 years. To get permission to paint it, to clean it, to pressure wash it and clean it up and paint it.
I thought all we were paying for it never happened.
That's. Yeah.
Well, while we're there, we can
but thank you. We'll look at that.
Evaluate the possibility of that and price it. I'm going to say initially my reaction would be I think it would be very pricey. We don't have any budgeted funds for that kind of addition.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, is that it? Next item on the agenda is the appointment of a nominating committee. As you know, at this time of the year, we start our selection process for officers for the new year. I will form that committee. I haven't had a chance to talk to the proposed committee at this point, but I will get that put together, apprise the board of that, and we will set about... a nominating committee. any comments or concerns about that process. Next item is the President's annual evaluation. Previously, I had furnished to each of you a compilation of the evaluations. I had previously furnished to you, forwarded to you, a faculty work-life survey. This morning, President Ransdale and I met for a little over an hour and had an extended discussion about the annual evaluation. I can inform you, in my words, that he's a happy camper. And I shared with him what I thought was an exceptional job. His ratings were consistent with prior years. For all intents and purposes, they were highly effective or effective in every category. Your comments that were submitted were reviewed by each of us, and there were some discussions, and that led into a much broader discussion about some philosophical issues or concerns, goals, objectives, visions, sharing with him board a summation of board philosophies, what have you. I felt we had a good meeting.
Yes.
Very good, constructive meeting. I think it was thorough. It was no holds barred. And we left, I think, generally feeling like we've accomplished our objective. So I would report to the board that task has been accomplished. And Dr. Ransdale has indicated to me that he's happy. I shared with him the future of this university and higher education in Kentucky is of great concern. No, let me rephrase that. The future of higher education in Kentucky should be of everyone's concern at this point. But I told him that I cannot think of any other institution that is better positioned than Western to meet that challenge. And I would hate to think of trying to meet that challenge without someone of his skill set, capabilities, and continuity in that position. And so our job as a board is to get bigger, not bigger, but to get better, more engaged, more involved. He and I have talked about that. His job as a president is to stay connected. As he always says, I'm all in, and you know he is. So it was very good. I would have to admit, I walked out very satisfied. So with that being said, I'll open up the floor for any comments, kudos, criticisms, questions that any individual regent might have about the process or the meeting this morning. Would you like to defend your honor?
Thank you. No, I'm very pleased and focused on the future.
At this time, we do have some matters of that require an executive closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move that the board go into closed session as provided in KRS 61810 for the following discussions: deliberation on the future acquisition or sale of real estate property by the university and discussion of proposed or pending litigation against or on behalf of the university.
We have a motion by Regent Kennedy. Seconded by Corey Dodds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Unanimously approved. We will go into closed session.